If you want to read with me, I'm going to read a short reading lesson. Ask you to turn to the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to John. And I want to begin reading with verse 29 and just read through verse 33 in the end of the chapter. And what I'm going to be reading here is the ending words of some things that the Lord said to his disciples while he was here with them on the earth. So in John chapter 16, beginning with verse 29, his disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Jesus answered them, and the rest of this reading will be the words of Christ. "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And that's reading from verse 29 through verse 33 from John chapter 16. My thought and my title this morning will be Testifying of God's Grace. Testifying of God's Grace. And I want to speak primarily today to those who are here that have already been saved by God's grace. Because, you know, there are ways that we can testify of God's grace that go beyond just His grace in saving our souls. And I want you to think about that with me today, about us in our life, about us testifying of the grace of God in our lives. And I want you to notice with me something in this that I believe is perhaps somewhat interesting and unique. But if you read in this gospel, in John's gospel, if you read beginning with the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John and read through the 16th chapter, you will find that what is recorded in those three chapters, of course, we realize that in the original writing of the Scriptures that there was no chapter and verse division, but what we have recorded in the Bible today in the 14th, 15th, and 16th chapter of John is a discourse that Jesus gave to His followers, to His disciples, while He was here on the earth. And in the recorded within those chapters, Jesus instructs them about many different things. He tells them how that they are going to be received and treated by the world in these chapters. I suppose that perhaps maybe some of the most important things that the Lord told them in this was when He began to try to make them to understand and get it across to them that He wasn't long to be with them, that it wasn't going to be very long until He was going to be leaving the earth. And He assured their hearts by letting them know that even though He would be leaving, and I think we need to understand in this that we're talking about a group of men that had about 3 years of a very daily intimate relationship and fellowship with the Lord. He had been with them, and He had taught them many things and had been a great example unto them in many things. And they were very close to Him. And you know, this is not something that this is not two strangers saying goodbye to each other. This is the Lord beginning to tell these men that had gotten very close to him and had a great love for him that he was not going to be with them very much longer. And there was, I believe, based upon things that we read, I believe that that perplexed them in their hearts. I believe there was sadness in their hearts over the thought of that their great teacher was not going to be with them much longer. But he comforted their hearts in letting them know that even though he was leaving, that he wouldn't leave them alone, that he wouldn't be forsaking them or leaving them without anybody to guide them or comfort them. He said there's going to be another comforter that's going to come. And of course, we learn also in these verses, if you ever have any question at all about the comforter, Jesus let it be known in this, and we're told plainly that the comforter is the Holy Ghost. And so he was telling them how that the Holy Spirit was going to come, and that he was going to, when he come, that he would bring to their remembrance things that they had been taught. And so he was assuring them in this, that they, though he was leaving them soon, that they would not be alone. And you know, honestly, the Lord's church, God's chosen people, have not been alone. I mean, the church, as far as close as we can tell, the church has been here in the world somewhere in the approximation of about 2,000 years. The church has been here in the world, and she has never been forsaken, and she has never been alone. You know how we come here sometimes and we gather in our services, and we, as it was this morning, and we begin to sing and we begin to talk and we begin to worship, and suddenly we know that there's a presence among us that's not something or someone that we see, but it's real just the same. And the Lord's still with us and still and will be with his church until time shall be no more and she's taken out of the world. So, but what I wanted you to consider in this is when Jesus began this discourse, when he began to say these things to his disciples, if you go back to the very first verse of the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, where a lot of these instructions begin, in that verse, he told them, he started this by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And so he began this by telling them to not let their hearts be troubled. If you look a little bit further on in that, I believe in that same chapter, in verse 27, he said to them, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And so he begins this by telling them to take comfort and to not be troubled. And then at the end of this, because what we find following this and what's recorded in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John is that Jesus ends his speech to them and he goes to God and he begins to pray for them that the things that that he has said would take in their hearts. And so he begins this by telling them to not let their hearts be troubled and to not be afraid. And then in the last verse of the 16th chapter, before he ends this discourse, he tells them that in the world they're going to have tribulation, but to be of good cheer. And that's what I want us to think about today, is testifying of the grace of God in our lives. And I want you to notice in this that in this verse, the world was the source of the trouble. Jesus said, in the world, you'll have trouble. In the world, you'll have tribulation. But he told them to be of good cheer because he had overcome that very source of trouble. He said, it's the world that he said, I've overcome. And I want to say this today to those of us that are saved by God's grace is that we are absolutely not going to lose. We're not going to lose. In fact, really, honestly, the battle has already been won. We're just waiting to the day that we will be able to finally have the victory. But the battle has been won, and we're not going to lose. We're not going to lose anything by what we face here in this world. We're not going to lose anything by leaving this world because we, those of us that are in Christ, have already had the great victory. I wonder what it would be like for people when they struggle, and this is unique when it comes to God's church and to God's people, because you've got to wonder what it would be like for people that struggle towards something and they labor towards something not knowing what the outcome is going to be, and you wonder how it may comfort them and console them along the way in the midst of all their, if it's something that a person is laboring for with their hands or whatever it is that they're doing, you know, maybe a sports team or something out there, you know, with this grueling physical exertion, trying to play the contest, not knowing how things are going to come out, but you have to wonder how it would be different for them if they were able to know that no matter what happens, we're going to win. You know, when the game's over, or when the contest is over, or when the day's over, when the work is finished, that whatever we were striving for is going to come out for the better. But you know, there's a lot of things in this life that we don't know about. We don't know about, I mean, we put labor into things and we strive for things and we don't really know how that they're going to turn out. But there's one thing that God's people, those of us who are saved, there's one thing that we know for certain because we already know how things turn out, don't we? I mean, you just read ahead a little bit and you'll find out how things turn out. You read the book of Revelation and you many people wonder what that book is really about. You know, what is it really? What is that book really about? Is it a book of past? Is it a book of present? Is it a book of future? Well, I'll tell you what, to me, more than anything, that final book of the Bible is it's a book of great victory. It's a book of victory. We know how things will turn out. You know that number of people that John saw recorded in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation when John, given this beautiful vision, and he saw these people gathered around the throne of God, and they were worshiping the Lord. They were lifting up their voice in song and praise, and they were worshiping the Lord, and they were proclaiming how great that God is. You know, those of us that have been saved, we're going to be in that number, absolutely. In fact, I don't know what you think about it, but I've been of the belief for many years that when God gave that vision to John, he saw us. I believe he saw the final victory of things. And so we're not going to lose. Now, you know, it's important, I believe, that it's extremely important for us as God's people in this world to how that we deal with life. Everything that we do, we ought to strive to bring honor and glory to the name of God. In everything that we do. Brother Dallas made a statement this morning, and I couldn't help. I mean, my ears just perked up when he said this, because I thought that's exactly one of the points that God impressed upon my heart for me to try to make today. And he said, when we can praise God, when things aren't really going very well, that's when we really testify of God's grace, isn't it? the sustaining grace of God in our lives. Somebody told me this one time, and it took me a while to sort it out and to think about it, but after I did that and meditated upon it, I was able to understand what he was saying. But he said, you know, the mark of a true servant of God is not what you see that person do when God is just helping them in an overwhelming way, but it's how hard that person will strive to serve and to honor God when for some reason God is not really giving them much help. That's the mark of a true servant of God. You know, when things continue to go bad and things don't seem to work right, but we continue to testify of the goodness of God in our life. Did not Job do that very thing? I mean, God gave us a great example in this servant of his that lived long ago named Job. And we may ask the question, why in the world did God allow one of his children to go through the things that he went through? Why would God allow this man named Job, who lived long ago, that the Bible says that he was perfect and upright? In other words, he was above reproach. He wasn't completely perfect. None of us are. But Job was above reproach. He was perfect. He was upright. The Bible says he feared God. He revered God. And he eschewed or he shunned evil. This man was living a good life towards God. He was living a dedicated life. And yet God just allowed Satan to have his way with Job. And Job was afflicted in that he lost his possessions. He lost his children. He lost his own health. And we today, we still hear about the patience of Job, don't we? How that he endured the things that he went through. How that with great integrity, great Christian integrity, when we look at the life of Job, when we are blessed to be able today to take the scriptures and open the book and read about the life of Job, can't we see in that how that his life testified of the sustaining grace of God? You know, I can read the book of Job and see the things that Job was able to go through, and it wasn't by his own power. It wasn't because Job was somebody special. I'll tell you what, we can say the same thing today about Job that James said about Elijah in his writing. Job was a man subject to like passions just like you and I. He was nothing but a man. He was a mortal man. And he didn't make it through those things by any special power that he had. He made it through those things because of the enabling grace of God upon his life. And I can read those things today, and I can take joy in that, and I can take comfort in that, and I can thank the Lord today for that example, because it helps me to know that whatever that I may face in this life, and we don't know what that's going to be. We don't know what life is going to bring us from one day to the next, but we can read examples like that, and we can thank the Lord that whatever that it is, I know that God has enough grace to carry me through it, to take me through any trial. You know, I have a desire, and I know that I can't do this without God's help, but I want to honor the Lord. Do you want to honor the Lord with your life? I mean, would you like people to know that God is real in your life? I tell you what, it's when we're down in the valleys, when we're experiencing troubles and trials and tribulations, it's in those times that the grace of God in our lives shines through the greatest, if we'll allow it. When Jesus said this to his disciples, and you know, what do you think about when you think about someone being of good cheer? You know, in the world, you know, sometimes, friends, and I know you've heard me preach this before, but it's still the truth. Sometimes we allow things to surprise us that shouldn't surprise us. I mean, sometimes trouble comes our way and it seems like it baffles us, or it's a great big surprise to us that we're having trouble in our life, and it shouldn't be any surprise at all. I wonder sometimes when those things happen, when something happens to us in our lives and we just say, I can't believe that something like that happened to me. It makes me wonder if we've really been reading the book in the first place. Jesus said we're going to have it, didn't he? In the world, you will have trouble. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I've overcome all of this. I've overcome the world. You know, when we think of somebody dying, someone that we know and love dying, that seems permanent to us, didn't it? But you stop and you take the Bible and you read about the great promises of God. And you know what? You will find in here there's just one thing after another, that death, no matter how it looks to us, there are so many things that death cannot possibly touch. You know what? The sermons that I've been able to stand here during the time I've been here as your pastor, the sermons that I've been able to stand here and preach by the help of God and by His grace, death can't stop that. Death can't stop God's word, can it? The prayers that we pray when it comes time to lay down and die, death can't stop them. Death can't hinder those things. There are spiritual things that you and I know and face that death cannot have any dominion over them whatsoever. Friends, listen, I assure you of this today. There are people, there are children of God that prayed prayers years ago, and they have long since been gone from this world. And God is still today hearing their prayers and answering their prayers and blessing the prayers of people that departed this life many, many years ago. And I heard a voice saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, but their works do follow them. There are things that death can't... Listen, you keep praying those prayers for your lost loved ones and your friends, because death can't stop prayer. Death can't stop our works. I'll tell you what, Fairview Memorial today is benefiting from the works of people that have been gone for a good while. And we're still reaping the benefits of that today. I get ashamed. I'll just be honest with you. You can deal with this in your heart the way that you want to. But I get ashamed many times when I find myself complaining about something that really don't mean much of anything when you really stop and think about it. Friends, I mean, we can't lose, can we? And we're not going to lose. God saved my soul in 1973. I've been on my way to heaven ever since. And I'm getting closer and closer every day. And one of these days, I'm going to step inside those gates. And when I do, everything that ever was any problem or trouble to me in this life in any way will be laid down outside of the gates of heaven, never to be a bother to me ever again. And that's true for everybody that's been saved by God's grace. So be of good cheer. You know what he was really telling them? If you go and you study the Greek words that he used there, he was telling them to take courage. Take courage. When you have trouble, take courage. When things are afflicting you, take courage. Be like Job. You know, Job, I mean, he was even, not only did he face the things that he faced, but, I mean, there were those that tried, even his own wife, tried to get him to just turn away from God. You know, look at all that you've gone through, and you're still retaining your integrity. Why don't you just curse God and die? And you know what Job said? He said, woman, you speak foolishly. You speak like a foolish woman. Should we receive good at the hands of God and not evil also? You know what Job was really saying? He was saying, Job realized in his day, long before Jesus came, he already knew the truth of it, didn't he? He was saying, should we expect to go through this life and never face any kind of trouble? I'll tell you what, if you have that view, you're going to find yourself really disappointed, because in the world, you're going to have tribulation. And I want to get this in before I close. I want you to look at those verses, and I want you to understand that Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, he didn't make a suggestion to them. He didn't say, well, you know, you're going to have trouble, and, you know, what you might want to do when you have trouble is you might want to try to man up, you know, and just be strong. You know what he told them? Do it. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Do it. Jesus told them to do it. Be of good cheer. Why? Why is that so important? Why can't we just go away somewhere and stick our head in the corner and weep and act like a baby about things? Why can't we just do that until we get over it? Well, we won't be much of a testimony to anybody if we do, will we? I mean, we won't testify of God's grace in our lives at all by doing that. But I'll tell you what, and I'll say it again. Job and his life and the things that I read about him testify to me of the grace of God upon that man's life. How that God was able to be with him and sustain him through all the things. And you know what? To be honest with you, I've really got my doubts. Now, I can't say this. I'm not God. I can't say this. But I've got my doubts that any of us will ever face all the things that he did at the same time that he faced them. I mean, Job was really put to the test. He was really put to the test, but God sustained him in everything that he faced. I appreciate your attention. I would really like to preach about another hour and a half, honestly. But I appreciate your attention for a little while this morning, and I just hope that something's been said that's been helpful to you in some way. Let's be of good cheer. If we're in Christ, when the troubles and the trials come, be of good cheer. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. And the joys of heaven, what is it we sing in the song, one of my favorite songs, when we all get to heaven, just one glimpse of him in glory, and will the toils of life repay. I believe that. So I appreciate your attention today, and we're going to dismiss, and we're going to go downstairs for a time of fellowship and a meal. After we have the benediction, I'm going to have Brother Ronnie, if he would, to lead us in a couple of songs.